From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Audie Cornish.
And I'm Robert Siegel. We've heard today about the partisan divide in Washington, and we've heard about disputes over who did and didn't clean up the snow. Well, we're also running a series about partnerships, stories of people working together in the arts. Today, NPR's Neda Ulubi tells us how some people with very different personalities have collaborated on some very good songs.
Let's start with a pair who've written some tunes you may have heard.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, girl, crying all the time. Love potion number 9. Take out the papers and the trash.
I said, take out the papers and the trash, and stole it before I could get the next line out.
Said, yeah. Or you don't get no spending cash.
Don't hold back.
I can't remember whether it was Mike or Jerry who described their creative relationship as a 50-year argument.
That's David Ritz. He ghostwrote Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller's joint memoir. Lieber and Stoller described that partnership on NPR 10 years ago.
Long, long years of stepping on each other's toes and words and sentences.
There's much that's similar about Lieber and Stoller. They were both Jewish kids who loved the blues and helped bring its rhythms into rock and roll.
Born to Kansas City, Kansas City, here I come.
But Lieber was the son of a single mom who ran a store in a poor black Baltimore neighborhood. As a kid, he delivered kerosene and coal, never learned how to read music. Stoller's family was more genteel. His aunt was a concert pianist. One brought street, one brought schooling.
Mike was able to take Jerry's wildness and not exactly tame it, but put some kind of frame around it.
A shared sensibility and strong opposing personalities was key to their success, says David Ritz.
When chaos meets order, when anarchy meets discipline, I think tension is the key.
That was absolutely the case with another pair of songwriters. Dave Stewart and Annie Lennox co-wrote some of the most shimmering hits of the 1980s. They were also romantically involved and having a terrible fight when, Lennox says, they wrote their most famous song.
It was written at a point where I personally thought that I might even have to head back to Scotland and just give up the ghost, as we say.
Sweet dreams are made.
Dave very bravely carried on trying to write something on a drum machine. Like, I think he programmed in the basic rhythm, and I was just about to leave the building, I think.
Lennox's background was working class. Her dad worked at a shipyard. Her mother was a cook. But unlike the solidly middle class Dave Stewart, she had piano lessons and eventually won a scholarship to the Royal Academy of Music. Stewart's approach was instinctive. That same dynamic comes into play in dozens of the greatest songwriting teams.
What is it? Sun will always shine in my
heart. Will be shining in my heart.
It may be raining, but the sun will be shining in my heart.
In this archival tape from the Brill Building in the 1950s, Doc Pomus and Mort Shuman craft a hit. And they argue.
Somebody else then.
Oh, wait a minute.
The song evolved into Teenager in Love. Their hits also included Hushabye and Viva Las Vegas. Doc Pomus was a wild man. His leg braces, a legacy from childhood polio, did not stop him from singing at Harlem blues clubs as a white Jewish teenager. Shuman was conservatory trained, orderly. He organized his partner's passions. David Ritz now takes us from Manhattan to the Motor City.
Norman Whitfield was certainly Mr. Chaos and Mr. Volatility, and Barrett Strong was certainly Mr. How are we going to put a lid on this?
Whitfield's youth was spent hustling in pool halls and at Motown. There he became known as a temperamental experimentalist, obsessive and fearless. Barrett Strong was the stable force about whom less is written. Whitfield and Strong's string of hits enabled Motown to expand. Besides I Heard It Through the Grapevine, they wrote Papa Was a Rolling Stone, Ball of Confusion, War. Today's songwriting team seem less volatile, says David Ritz, maybe because they're not trying to harness the volatility of a new form. The best songwriting teams in early R&B and rock and roll, he says, required an Apollo and a Dionysus. What better example, ultimately, than Mick and Keith? Jagger brought formal training, discipline, and business acumen. Richards brought intense focus and a total lack of inhibition.
Richards is sort of the Dionysiac force, and Jagger seems to be the more Apollonian force.
Moral of the story that's true even today?
If Dionysus and Apollo can live together in a 2.5 or 3 minute song, you got a hell of a hit.
Netta Ulaby, NPR News.